life, I have been a voracious reader, and as such, I love libraries. I love libraries like the one in Old Town Fairfax, new and nice, with lots of natural light, and comfortable, attractive sitting areas where you can relax and be peaceful and enjoy the quiet. I even love battered down and warm downtown libraries like the one in my former hometown of Austin, Texas. That library is like many urban central library branches, located in an old and outdated building in a questionable part of town. You can feel the air of deferred maintenance as soon as you walk in. And it is also located near a large population of the city's homeless and urban poor. They congregate there frequently to get out of the weather and to rest and relax in safety. This often causes considerable discomfort among the more privileged patrons. Now, this is a common situation found in most urban central libraries and is becoming increasingly the case in library branches outside the urban core as well. A lot of big city libraries view their homeless patrons as a problem to confront. Library staff post long lists of rules in an attempt to prevent eating, sleeping, bringing in too many belongings, and generally being disruptive. The staff make half-hearted attempts at enforcing the rules, but mostly it seems that everyone, including the other patrons, try to pretend like these beaten down, marginalized, and often unclean people are not there at all. Until, that is, someone acts out and is quickly escorted from the building. The Downtown Central Library in Dallas, however, has tried a different approach. They found that the lengthy list of rules posted around the building were largely disregarded. They found that ignoring the homeless patrons or pretending they weren't there not only didn't run them off, but didn't seem to reduce any of the acting out either. So they tried a different approach. Instead of discouraging the presence of the downtown homeless, they chose to welcome them. They instituted a program that includes and extends hospitality to their homeless patrons. And rather than seeing them as a group of people who are a problem that needs to be dealt with, they chose instead to see individuals to be welcomed. So they took down the long list of rules and all the no signs, like no eating, no sleeping, and so on. And they replaced them with signs that say things like respect others. They began to coordinate with other organizations that assist the homeless to bring some of their assistance in-house and to develop some targeted programs to engage and serve this population. The most important change, however, was how the library staff viewed the homeless patrons. Having learned that many of the behavioral problems could be remedied by communicating and engaging the homeless patrons personally, they introduced what they call the Walmart method. And they had library staff greet all patrons when they entered the library and stress the importance of simply smiling and making eye contact with the homeless patrons, since so many people on the street will not. The staff at the Central Dallas Library chose to see and to know the homeless people who frequented their library. They engaged and communicated with them. They welcomed rather than ignored them. They saw them as human individuals rather than an anonymous and troublesome group. And having been seen and known, many of them responded in kind, treating the library, staff, and other patrons with respect, which has resulted in fewer outbursts and not one official complaint against a homeless person in over a year. Our gospel lesson today is also about seeing and being seen, knowing and being known. This lesson is the second half of John's account of Jesus' calling of his first disciples. Just before where our lesson picks up, John the Baptist is with two of his disciples, Andrew and another unnamed one, when he sees Jesus walking towards him. John exclaims, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." and curious, the disciples begin to follow. Jesus, seeing them following, asks them, "What are you seeking?" They ask him where he is staying, and Jesus replies, "Come and see." And so they do, and they spend the rest of the day with him. Andrew then goes off to bring his brother Simon to join them, saying, "We have found the Messiah." When Andrew presents his brother to Jesus, Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas." When Jesus asks, "What are you seeking?" I think that the disciples really didn't know, that they were not able to put into words the deepest desires of their hearts. Not able to speak of this longing, they instead answer Jesus' question with one of their own. "Where are you staying?" Their question may be better translated as, "Where do you abide? Where can we be in the very presence of God?" Jesus sees and knows them, knows the longings of their hearts, and simply replies, "Come and see." With these three simple words, Jesus says so much more. Come and see. Follow me and see for yourself who I am. Come and pay attention, and you will know me, and through knowing me, you will know the one who sent me. Come into my light, and you too will reflect God's glory into the world. Our lesson today picks up this story the very next day. Jesus has begun his journey back to Galilee, and along the way he comes upon Philip, to whom he extends a simple invitation, "Follow me." Philip rushes to find Nathanael to encourage him to join him, saying, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." To which Nathanael brushes off Philip's comment, saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" In response, Philip then uses the same words that Jesus used just the day before, "Come and see." When Nathanael does just that, he is surprised to find himself already known by Jesus, having seen him earlier when he sat under a fig tree. And by seeing him, Jesus knew him and the longings of his heart. And by being seen and known, Nathanael was then able to see and know Jesus for who he truly is, the Son of God and King of Israel. Seeing and being seen, knowing and being known, this is the focus of both of these stories. John's seeing leads to testifying that Jesus is the Lamb of God. The disciples' seeing leads to following and evangelizing. Jesus' seeing leads to calling and knowing. Seeing leads to following. Following leads to sharing the good news, and all of this leads to transformation and new life. But the story with Nathanael and Philip shows us that human nature being what it is, we often get in our own way. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing past the surface of things. And Philip urges Nathanael to come with him, that he has found the one for whom they have all waited in their heart's desire. He is dismissive. Nathanael asks them, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This really isn't all that much a ridiculous question, because at that time, Nazareth was just a small village in the outskirts of Sepphoris in Galilee, down the sticks, if you will, far, far from the political and religious seat of power. The Hebrew scriptures never mentioned Nazareth or associated with any messianic expectations. It most certainly was not a place for which anyone would expect the Messiah to arise. And in Nathanael's view, Jesus was probably nothing more than a simple Jew from an insignificant village. It's sort of like if we said that the Savior of the world has come from Eldon, North Dakota. Seriously? North Dakota? Like Nathanael, we too would do well to recognize how our own prejudices close our eyes and our ears to what and who is before us. It's easy not to see what is really there because it doesn't align with our expectations. To counter Nathanael's quick dismissal, Philip merely mirrors Jesus' words and makes the same simple plea, come and see. Come and see. These are powerful words. With these words, we are called to see not just the face shaped and colored by one's life circumstances, but the life behind and within one's face. The life that is loved and treasured by God. The life that is worthy of love and dignity. To be seen and known. I believe these are the deepest desires of our hearts. Before we can be loved, we must be seen. And before we can share this gift of love and grace with our neighbors, we must first see them, see who they are, behind how and what they are. It was just this kind of seeing that the staff of the Central Dallas Library employed with their homeless patrons. They decided to see and know the life behind and within the faces of the very people they had previously ignored. And in doing so, they saw and treated them not as a problem to be solved, but as individuals to be welcomed, individuals worthy and deserving of being known. And who knows what changes this will bring about? Perhaps this will be transformative for all of them, library staff and patrons. Perhaps in this seeing and knowing, they also encounter the presence of the one for whom they have waited so long, the one for whom their hearts desire. Perhaps as they know themselves as known, they will be transformed by this knowing and loving to be a light in the darkness, drawing others to the brightness of their light. Amen.